us. Good morning, Bert. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you guys. I hope you're having a good morning.
Well, it's been in Nashville, we had ice and snowmageddon 2 weekends ago. Last week, a monsoon. So it's beautiful here in the Music City this weekend. So we're ready for it.
Well, you deserve some good weather. That's great to hear. It's the sun shining here in Knoxville. It's a beautiful day here as well.
Bert, I love the work you and Bob do together. It's when John Ward retired in 09, Bob Kessling brought you along, and there's some funny stories with that. But you guys have quite a run, and you're still hitting it strong.
Well, Bob's a great guy, and he's the main reason I've continued to be his partner for all these years. He's a professional, and he carries me every day. I used to have a lot of bruises on my shins from when he kicked me under the table for crazy things that I would say. But I've kind of learned when to talk and when not to talk and when to get out of his way and when not to. And I'm glad you like what we do. And I feel like we got a great team, and the Vol Network's a great organization. I've enjoyed really every minute of being involved with them.
Yeah, you certainly do have a great team, and it's as entertaining to listen to you guys as to watch the team, and I think that's the ultimate compliment that a Vol fan or just a basketball fan in general could give you, Bert. I want to go back to Coach Mears. Anytime we've had somebody on, be it Rick Bird or anybody from Coach Mears' days, it is fascinating to me. I think he's so underappreciated as a coach and as a showman for what he brought to college athletics, to college basketball. Take us back to your Tennessee days playing for Coach Mears, the pregame warmups. I mean, just the whole deal, the showman that was Ray Mears.
Well, I was really fortunate because I knew Coach Mears. I knew their whole family. We lived close by, and I grew up going to Coach Mears' camps in the summer, the day camps, and then as I got older, they had some overnight camps, and I was really, really involved, and basketball was the sport I loved the most. So I was fortunate enough to be around him quite a bit, both on the court and off the court, and he's very underrated. He put basketball on the map in East Tennessee and certainly at the university. And it's a shame that he doesn't get more credit because he had some illness issues, some health issues. And at the time they didn't have medicines and things that he could have lived with and continued to coach with. They didn't have those tools back then, which is really unfortunate because he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes.
If you talk to any of the older people, like, you know, Coach Barnes, who's been involved a while, they'll tell you what a great coach he was, and I think a lot of him, or thought a lot of him, and Coach Aberdeen as well, his associate head coach. Both those guys meant a lot to me. Unfortunately, I never really got to play for Coach Mears. His health issues got pretty bad my freshman year. Of course, he recruited me, but I never really played for him. He had to take leave of absence my first 2 years, and so I never really got the total experience of what a great coach he was. But I played with people who played for him, and I know a lot of people who played all 4 years for him, and they all love and respect him.
Well, and to be part of that Bernie Ernie era, wow. I mean, there's been some great runs by these basketball teams. I know Bruce, the run he makes and made, and we'll see what's going to happen with Rick and certainly the recruiting he's doing. But, you know, Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld, there's the half of the Mount Rushmore of UT basketball right there.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, they say, well, is this team better than that team? And comparing all these different teams that since I've been involved in the broadcasting, and then, you know, between my playing days and when I started the broadcasting, and they compare all these teams, and I say, well, tell me one that had three first-round draft choices and a Hall of Famer on their first five. Tell me one of those teams that had that. We had Bernard, Ernie, and, of course, Reggie Johnson. And then Mike Jackson, who was an all-conference player, as well as Johnny Darden. That was our starting five. That's pretty strong. And unfortunately, the way the tournament was, you had to win the SEC to get in the tournament back then. So we were able to get into the tournament, but we didn't advance, unfortunately. But tremendous teams. King and Grunfeld were just two of the best players the SEC's ever had, and I think Bernard's the best. Of course, I'm a little bit biased, but I can't. Statistically, it's hard to find anybody who had a better 3 years than Bernard King in the SEC.
Yeah.
Bert Bertelkamp with us, our U.S. Army Legend of the Week, the Vols color analyst for the Vol Network with Bob Kessling, and just everything all the way through. Okay. When was the first time money came out of your mouth?
This is what I wanted.
I'm not even going to try to imitate. I'm going to back up and ask you, how many times do people come up to you and just shout money?
Well, it happens. It definitely happens. And it's funny, I used to take my son with me to games and on the road some, and people started calling him Little Money. So we get a kick out of it. People seem to enjoy it. And Chris Lofton's who really spurred it on with his ability to shoot three-pointers. And I played with a fellow named Terry Glenn, and he used to – that's where I really got it from. He would shoot the ball when you were playing against him, and as soon as it left his hand, he would say money. And I don't know, I thought that was kind of cool. So when Lofton was bombing those threes, I would say money. Sometimes before the ball even got to the basket, you could just tell with the rhythm that he was in, and he was such a great shooter. That's how it started, and of course he made a gazillion three-pointers, so I said money quite a bit, and then I kind of quit saying it because we didn't have as good a three-point shooting, and people would say, I didn't hear any monies last night. So you got to make a three. You can't give a money on a paint point. So it's just kind of stuck, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, Bert, you started with Bob 1999. Is that correct?
2009.
Yeah.
No, 99.
99, right. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, in 99, replace arguably the voice of the state of Tennessee in John Ward. Bob replaces. First time as a color analyst in the booth. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I was not trained at all. Bob asked me to do a few TV games when John was still doing the radio, when Bob was doing Channel 10 News, the sports anchor here in town. But he would do games throughout the week and on the weekends. And prior to the SEC season, there would be several games in early, November, December TV games on different networks. Sports South is one that comes to mind way back when. But I would do the color for the TV, and we hit it off. And I knew him. We overlapped a little bit. But he was leaving the UT as I was getting there, and we had some mutual friends. One fellow named Doug Ashworth, who played on the team, was from up in Ohio, and he was buddies with Bob. And Doug and I actually roomed together my freshman year. But we got to know each other and hit it off. And then when Bob got the job, he wanted to have someone with him as an analyst, both in basketball and football. And John was kind of hot and cold on that, I think, at least as far as basketball goes. And he had different people doing it. But Bob asked me to do it. And he carries the heavy load. I just comment on the game and probably break every rule of broadcasting. But it's so much fun, and we've been around. You get to be around so many quality people and meet so many good people and see such great basketball that it's been a blast, and it's been fun to be with Bob.
Tom and I printed off a story separately written a while back by Dave Link. I've known Dave a long time. Being from a sports writer background, I've known Dave a long time there in Knoxville. But
I know Dave, too. His family's good friends with our family. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sorry.
That's okay. He's been around like me forever. But when you were talking with the late Edwin Huster, who's in charge of the Vol Network, this quote by you, you were told, here's what you can't do. Number one, you can't be a homer. You can't be all Tennessee. Number two, you can't referee the games and criticize the refs. And number three, you can't, quote, coach the team. And your quote in the story was, well, then I'm not your man because I'll try not to coach the team, but I'm damn sure a UT guy, and I'm damn sure going to criticize the refs if they're not doing a good job. I like that. You got to love that.
Well, that's a true story. That's real true. And when I came back with that, and Edwin's a great guy, and I knew Edwin. And when I came with that answered his question or his comment. And I said, you know, two out of three I've got to do, you know, so I'm not your man. And he said, well, which two? And I told him, and he said, well, that, I guess that makes sense. I said, well, Edwin, it's the Vol Network. I mean, you want somebody that's not a homer on the Vol Network? Are you kidding? And he went with me, and they've had to rope me in a few times through the years. But by and large, people want to hear the truth.
Yes.
They want to hear what's really going on. If Tennessee's playing well, they want to hear it. If they got a bad call, they want to hear it. If the other team's outplaying us, they want to hear it. You know, they want to hear the truth, and that's what we try to give them.
Yeah. On with our U.S. Army Legend of the Week, Burt Bertelkamp. Since 99, I mean, how many ebbs and flows has Tennessee basketball seen since 99? You go back, and, man, it's amazing to see the highest of highs, some pretty low lows, and all the way to this year. We can't let you go without asking.
We saved that for last, by the way.
Yeah, can't let you go without asking about current state of the team. What are your thoughts as this team prepares not only for Florida but SEC tournament and higher aspirations?
Well, they certainly not met the expectations, and the expectations may have been a little bit high at the beginning, but COVID has made it difficult for everybody. It's just been a strange season, but no one could have predicted that we would be so up and down. You know, we do have two freshmen that are major contributors, so you don't really know how they're going to impact the team, but some of our veterans have just not had good years, and that's been unusual under Coach Barnes. Players like Grant Williams and Schofield and Bone and some of those guys, they've all improved and they've all gotten better year to year. And this season, we haven't had that. And I think there's a variety of reasons. I think COVID's one of them. That's impacted the team. They've had some injuries. They've had some injuries they probably don't talk much about, that have slowed down some of the players, and I think that's led to confidence issues. And so, you know, we're 6-6 over our last 12 games, and we were predicted to win the SEC by most people. So we've underachieved, but I'm kind of glad they had the week off to regroup after the Auburn game, which was very disappointing to lose that game. And hopefully they'll get on track because they're capable. They're capable, and I think the key is they've got to get some good play from the inside. Pons and Fulkerson have to show up, and they don't have to be stars, but they have to be double-figure scoring and close to double-figure rebounds. So when they don't produce and they have bad games, it's difficult for the freshman and Victor Bailey to carry the team. It really is. So when they got six or seven guys playing well, they're a darn good team.
Yeah.
But when only three play well, they're not going to beat many teams. It's pretty much as simple as that. And hopefully having a week off will give them a chance to regroup, and they'll play well against Florida tomorrow.
You know, and just watching the emergence of the freshmen who are on the ball, you know, ball in hand kind of players, and then obviously with Fulkerson and Lowe and Pons at what he brings, and certainly rebounding defense, we know all about that part of his game. It just seems like they went through sort of a metamorphosis of what are we? Are we an inside-out team? Are we going to use our athleticism out on the perimeter? And I know I'm getting maybe in the weeds with this, but it just seems like they went through a bit of an identity crisis there as the freshmen emerged.
Well, I think the identity crisis came from people not producing. They wanted to play inside out.
Yeah.
That's the way Coach Barnes is, you know, great ball movement, but you got to go through the post and kick it back out if you can't do something inside and establish that inside game. And we had it going there early in the season pretty well through, you know, halfway through the season. But then we had some issues, and Pons was injured, and Fulkerson's been a little bit banged up and not playing as well as he had. And so I think the second half of the Kentucky game, this is my opinion, it was like, this, what we're doing is not working. You guys take over, play your game. And all of a sudden, yeah, Jaden and Keon started playing with the instincts and the ability that they've always had. Prior to that, they were typical of freshmen. They showed flashes, but they're thinking, you know, rather than just playing instinctively. So they would make turnovers. They were looking over their shoulder. And Coach Barnes is, you know, he's not a very tolerant person. If you're turning the ball over, you're making dumb mistakes, breakdowns on defense, he pulls you out of the game and uses that to coach you up, and then he'll get you back in the game. But after that, I agree with you. We kind of changed and put the ball in their hands. Maybe a little bit too much, but probably out of necessity, because they were the ones producing. And Victor Bailey went through a time where he couldn't make a shot. In fact, when we played Florida down there, I think he was 1 for 12, which is, well, he's a scorer, and he's been averaging close to 20 a game over the last 4 or 5 games. So he went through somewhat of a slump, and Josiah James had an injury, and he was having a good year, and then he slumped some with his injury. So I think it's been the way they've changed things has been a little bit out of necessity, and Coach Barnes is trying to figure out, you know, how's the best way for us to score points, because defensively we've been pretty consistent, but offensively it's been up and down all year, and hopefully they can string a few games together, because they're certainly capable, but they got to shoot a good percentage, and they got to have some production inside.
One other thing, we'll let you go. I know you say money on the long shots. What did you say with Keon Johnson's dunk against Georgia?
Oh, good question.
Oh, I don't even know. I think I hurt my back jumping out of the seat, you know? Keon is a highlight reel. I tell you, you can't say enough good things about his motor and his athleticism and his ability around the basket. When he gets improves his ball handling and really gets more consistent with his outside shooting, the sky's the limit for him. And Springer's been strong all year. I don't break down film or anything like that, but if they had to ask me, I would say he's been our most consistent player. He's been there most every night. He's had a game here or there, but he's been pretty strong and consistent for a freshman. Both of them are outstanding.
Bert, this has been a treat. Tell our friend Bob I said hello. Even though he's a Reds fan, I still think a lot of him. So, hey, Bert, thanks for doing this. And we really enjoy what you and Bob do. It really is.
Well, thanks a lot, and I appreciate you having me. And have a good rest of the day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Bert.
Thanks,
we'll be
Bert.
Listening.
Yep. Money.
Okay. All right, money.